This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Follow-up actions that strengthen post-conflict trust. Turn the conversation you just had into the foundation you need. In short, post-conflict trust does not rebuild itself after a difficult conversation ends. What you do in the next 48 hours, and the weeks that follow, determines whether the repair holds. Follow-up actions, not the conversation itself, are the real proof of change. Specific, trackable commitments matter far more than general goodwill. Consistency over 2 to 3 weeks is what earns trust back. Definition: post-conflict trust is the confidence two people rebuild in each other after a difficult conversation or workplace dispute. It forms through consistent follow-through, honest communication, and small acts of accountability that prove the conversation produced real change, not just temporary relief. I watched a manager lose a talented colleague not during the argument, but 3 weeks after it. The conversation had gone well. Both sides spoke clearly, commitments were made, handshakes exchanged, then nothing changed. No follow-up, no check-in, no evidence that any of it had mattered. The colleague stopped trying. The relationship quietly died. That story has stayed with me for decades because it captures something most people miss. Rebuilding post-conflict trust is not about what you say in the room. It is about what you do when you walk out of it. Difficult conversations are only as good as the actions that follow them. Why the hardest part comes after the conversation. You can prepare for a difficult conversation. You can script your opening, manage your tone, and stay composed under pressure. But the follow-up period demands something different. It asks you to sustain new behavior, often under the strain of old habits and ongoing pressure. Most people experience genuine relief when a hard conversation ends. That relief is natural. The problem is that it tricks you into thinking the work is done. You said the difficult thing. You heard the difficult thing. Now it is over. It is not over. It has barely started. The other person is watching what you do next. They're not doing this cynically. They're doing it because they have been let down before. They have had conversations that felt like breakthroughs and then watched everything drift back to how it was. They need evidence. Give them some. What needs to be in place before you begin? Before any follow-up has a chance to work, two things must be true. First, both people must have left the original conversation with a shared, specific understanding of what was agreed. Vague agreements like, we will communicate better or we will try to work more collaboratively, are not agreements at all. They are intentions, and intentions dissolve under pressure. If your difficult conversation ended without specific commitments, you need to address that gap in your first follow-up contact. It is not too late. Something like, I want to make sure we are both clear on what we agreed. Can I share how I understood it, and you tell me if that matches your understanding? That conversation is worth having even if it feels awkward. Second, the emotional temperature needs to have dropped to a workable level. If either person is still raw, early follow-up can reopen rather than repair. Give it a day if the conversation was heated. The goal of follow-up is not to process more emotion. It is to begin demonstrating change. If you're dealing with a situation where tension has already caused deeper damage, the article How to Rebuild Trust After Unresolved Tension Has Damaged a Working Relationship covers specific ground in detail. The 6 follow-up steps that actually rebuild trust. Step 1. Send a brief, grounding message within 24 hours. Do not let the first day after a difficult conversation pass in silence. Silence reads as withdrawal. A short message, direct and warm, tells the other person that the conversation mattered and that you are engaged. This does not need to be long. Something like, I wanted to follow up on our conversation yesterday. I appreciated you being direct with me, and I want to make sure I follow through on what I committed to. I will have the updated process to you by Thursday. That is enough. You are not revisiting the conflict. You are signaling continuity. The message accomplishes 3 things. It confirms the conversation was real. It names a specific commitment, and it sets an observable timeline. All 3 rebuild confidence. Step 2. Convert your commitments into trackable actions. Whatever you agreed to during the conversation, turn it into something you can both observe. If you said you would be more transparent about decisions affecting the other person's work, name exactly what that means. I will copy you on any communications about the project timeline before I send them. Specific, visible, verifiable. This step matters because vague commitments create confusion and erode goodwill even when both people are trying. The other person cannot trust a change they cannot see. You cannot demonstrate a change you have not defined. Write your commitments down. Not in a formal document, just for yourself. Treat them as a personal system you are accountable to. Step 3. Do the first visible thing quickly. Within the first week, do at least one of the things you committed to. Make it visible. Do not wait until everything is perfect. An early, imperfect action signals genuine effort far more convincingly than a polished response that arrives 3 weeks later. If you said you would handle feedback differently and the next opportunity arrives 4 days after your conversation, take it. Handled well, that moment carries enormous weight. The other person will notice. They always notice the first time you do the new thing. If the conflict involved how disagreements are handled in meetings, the article How to Handle Conflict During Meetings offers practical tools for changing your behavior in that specific setting. Step 4. Check in at the 48-hour and 1-week mark. Two check-ins are essential in the early repair period. The first, at roughly 48 hours, should be brief. Its purpose is connection, not review. Just wanted to check in. How are you feeling about where things stand between us? That is often enough. The second check-in, around a week after the conversation, should be slightly more substantial. Ask directly whether the commitments you made have been visible. I have been trying to specific action. Have you noticed a difference? Or is there somewhere I'm still missing it? This takes courage. Ask anyway. These check-ins accomplish something important. They shift the repair from something passive into something active. You are not waiting to see if trust rebuilds. You are participating in building it. When teams are dealing with persistent friction, the principles in how I met needs drive team conflict and what to say to restore synergy are worth understanding alongside the step-by-step process. Step 5. Address slippage immediately and directly. You will slip. Some old behavior will resurface. A communication will go out without a heads up. A meeting will go sideways. What you do in the 10 minutes after you notice is what separates a real repair from a failed one. Do not pretend it did not happen. Do not wait to see if the other person noticed. Address it directly. I realize I did the thing I said I would not do in that meeting. I want to acknowledge that, and I'm going back to what I committed to. This kind of repair emotion is where post-conflict trust actually forms. Anyone can behave well when it is easy. Accountability in the moment of failure is what tells the other person they can rely on you. The deal method, which I outline in How to Use the Deal Method to Resolve Conflicts That Are Fracturing Team Synergy, also provides a useful structure when a slippage escalates into a new disagreement that needs to be addressed directly. Step 6. Mark the progress explicitly at the 3-week point. Trust rebuilds quietly, in small increments, and it is easy for both people to lose sight of the ground they have covered. At the 3-week mark, name it. This does not need to be a formal conversation. A brief, direct acknowledgement is enough. I think we have made real progress since we spoke. I feel like there is more ease between us. What do you think? Naming progress reinforces it. It also gives the other person permission to agree, and that agreement is itself an act of trust. If there is still friction, this moment surfaces it without the weight of a fresh conflict. You are not reopening the original dispute. You are tending to the relationship as it is right now. For situations where two people are genuinely stuck and not progressing, How to Use the Deal Method to Diffuse Tension Between Two Colleagues Who Refuse to Cooperate offers a structured approach for breaking that impasse. When the conflict happened between a manager and a direct report, the six-step process above applies in every direction. But when the conflict involves a power imbalance, there are adjustments worth making. If you are the manager following up with a direct report, your early actions carry disproportionate weight. The other person may feel they cannot be fully honest in check-ins because the stakes for them are higher. You need to make it explicitly safe. I want honest feedback, not reassurance. If I slip back into old patterns, I need you to tell me. That is part of what we agreed to. If you are the direct report following up with a manager, resist the temptation to over-accommodate. The difficult conversation happened because something real needed to change. Following up with the same deference that caused the original problem erases the conversation entirely. Hold to what you agreed. Be respectful. Be direct. In both directions, written follow-ups are particularly useful in hierarchical settings. They create a shared record and remove the ambiguity that can lead to different interpretations of what was agreed. When feedback disagreements are part of the picture, How to Use the Deal Method to Resolve Disagreements About Feedback at Work is worth reading alongside this process. quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What people get wrong in the follow-up period. The mistake. Treating the conversation as the finish line. Why it happens. The relief of having had a hard conversation is so powerful that the mind registers it as completion. What to do instead? Write down your 3 commitments the day after the conversation. Treat them as active obligations, not intentions. The mistake. Waiting too long for the first follow-up. Why it happens. People worry about seeming needy or reopening the wound. What to do instead? A brief message within 24 hours is not reopening anything. It is confirming the conversation mattered. The mistake. Making commitments that neither person can observe or measure. Why it happens. Vague commitments feel safer. They cannot be failed. What to do instead? Before you leave the conversation, test each commitment with the question, how will we both know if I have done this? For deep relationship breakdowns, where the above mistakes have already compounded, the bridge method provides a more structured framework for staged repair. Your post-conflict follow-up checklist. Use this after every significant difficult conversation at work, within 24 hours. Number 1. Send a brief message that confirms the conversation mattered and names at least one specific commitment. Number 2. Write down every commitment you made, in observable terms. Number 3. Identify the first action you can take within 7 days, within the first week. Number 1. Take that first visible action. Number 2. Conduct a brief check-in. How are you feeling about where things stand? Number 3. If you slip, address it directly within hours, not days, at the 1 week mark. Number 1. Ask whether your commitments have been visible. Have you noticed a difference? Number 2. Name one thing you're still working on. Honesty here builds more trust than a polished performance. At the 3 week mark. Number 1. Acknowledge the progress explicitly. Number 2. Ask whether anything still feels unresolved. Number 3. Decide together whether a further check-in is needed or whether the repair has taken hold. The work that happens after the hard conversation. Here is the truth of it: most workplace relationships do not end because of conflict. They end because of what happens in the silence after conflict. The follow-up period is where character is visible. It is where the other person learns whether they can trust you when it costs you something. Post-conflict trust is not given. It is earned through consistency, through accountability, and through the quiet courage of doing what you said you would do even when no one is watching. The 6 steps in this article are your framework. The work is yours to do. Frequently asked questions. What is post-conflict trust, and why does it matter at work? Post-conflict trust is the confidence two people rebuild in each other after a difficult conversation or workplace dispute. It matters because without it, the original conflict quietly resurfaces through avoidance, passive tension, and eroded collaboration. Most working relationships survive conflict only when trust is actively repaired. How do you rebuild post-conflict trust after a difficult conversation? Rebuild post-conflict trust by following through on specific commitments made during the conversation, checking in within 48 hours, and naming what you're doing differently. Small, consistent actions over 2 to 3 weeks matter far more than a single sincere apology or one productive meeting. How long does it take to restore trust after a workplace conflict? Most workplace trust repairs take 2 to 4 weeks of consistent follow-through before the other person genuinely relaxes. The first 48 hours set the tone, but it is the sustained pattern of behavior across the following weeks that determines whether the repair holds or dissolves. What should you say when following up after a difficult conversation at work? Keep it direct and specific. Something like, I wanted to check in on the conversation we had. I have been thinking about what I said, and I want to make sure I'm following through on what I committed to. Is there anything that still feels unresolved for you? Why do follow-up actions matter more than the difficult conversation itself? The conversation opens the door, but follow-up actions determine whether trust actually rebuilds. Most people say the right things in the room and then return to old patterns. Consistent behavior after the conversation is the only proof that something real changed. Without it, the conversation means nothing. What are the biggest mistakes people make after a difficult conversation? The three most common mistakes are waiting too long to follow up, making vague commitments that neither person can track, and treating the conversation as the finish line. Each of these allows the original tension to quietly return, even when the conversation itself went well. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.